Top five today, during the top five at 5 o'clock, which is the exact same time that Brett Baer is on the Fox News Channel.
Mm-hmm.
You can win a $50 gift certificate to Builder Supply Outlet in Broadview. True outlet prices every day. Just in, come see the beautiful new mahogany and alderwood entry doors.
Giving away all sorts of stuff today.
Yes, we are. And oh my God, here's Brett right now.
Hey, Brett.
All right.
Hello, good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you. All right, a couple of different things here. Let's start with the hacking of the DNC by what appears to be Russian professional government-sponsored hackers. And they're looking for Oppo research on Donald Trump, but they're probably looking for a bunch of other things as well, like the Oppo research that they're pocketing on Hillary Clinton, too. And also policy positions. We've seen this before. This is not something that has not happened before during campaign years here. What do you make of it?
Yeah, so they actually contacted this this company that does internet security, the DNC did, that there were some irregularities in their system. And then they bring in the IT staff, and they identify with what they're calling a very high degree of confidence that a group that is attributed to the Russian government targeted the DNC network and got a lot of material, including, as you mentioned, the Oppo research against Donald Trump. Now, a couple of things. One is the Russian government has been tied to these groups before on a number of different fronts. Companies getting hacked, the U.S. government getting hacked or attacked. This is not comforting for, you know, DNC donors, for people who, you know, interact with the National Committee.
Because they're putting those things.
Information could be out there.
Right. The DNC, the credit card numbers and things like that.
Oh, so like personal information. Because their names and donation amounts are already public information. But you're saying like credit card data and.
Yeah. And this stuff is happening all the time. We don't hear about everything. Mm-hmm. But they just talked to somebody the other day on cyber theft and attacks. And it has increased tenfold. And the U.S. government gets attacked about a million times a day.
Gosh, a million times a day.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
worse than you thought.
I guess what I look at that and I think, well, we're doing it too, and we just hope that we're getting more than they're getting. I mean, right? This is a constant sort of battle that is going on now in cyberspace, and that this is something that domestically the FBI is managing, and internationally the Air Force is managing, and not to mention the NSA and the CIA and all the rest of them. But
it's where part of the war is being fought.
Yeah. Exactly.
And a big one. I mean, I think it's our next big front. I mean, it's already here, but I think that there will be some event. Just talking to people in Washington, they fear that barring some major change in how we deal with things, there will be some catastrophic event that deals with cyber.
Mm-hmm. And that could happen, right? I mean, that's what they're gaming for, because if we get our banking system in whole
electrical
or in part, like right, exactly, a true grid, anything like that, the sorts of things that we have even used in small scale to destabilize countries that we're invading, whether it was Iraq or Afghanistan, you know, those kinds of techniques are available, and there could be a terror attack if you find enough coders somewhere. You never know.
Sure.
We know what they're going to be capable of. All right, speaking of terror, let's go back to this now. Obviously, you've got the situation in Orlando, which is horrifying, and the details of the lives of the victims and all that coming out. We're learning more about the gunman himself. And in terms of how your reporting has been excellent on Fox News on this, been really ahead of it.
Mm-hmm.
How much of a percentage do you think this guy is actually a tinged international terrorist versus a domestic nut job?
Well, listening to the FBI, and tonight I'll have Homeland Security Secretary Jay Johnson on the show and talk about all aspects of this investigation. But they're up there briefing, a classified briefing up on Capitol Hill right now, and he'll come here after that. Listening to them, this guy was radicalized over time, over the internet. He's a guy who watched these videos of Anwar al-Awlaki, that cleric, who we eventually killed in Yemen.
He was the guy behind the Fort Hood shooter, we believed, right?
Nidal Sassan, another guy who was self-radicalized.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have, much like the San Bernardino terrorists, and they too were self-radicalized. Now, where is the line? Where is the line between nut job and terrorist? I think it's fairly blurred because you have to get to a certain point, but they are pledging allegiance, all of those people did, to an ideology, to a radical Islamic terrorist ideology, and this specifically to ISIS. So they also have a pinpoint on he had some communication or some interaction with the American suicide bomber in Syria. That takes it to a different level. Mm-hmm. You know, you have a different level of intimacy with at least pledging to do something for a terrorist group. Not that it was directed by some guy in Syria saying, now go right. to the club.
Yeah.
But over the internet, it was.
He's running with a bad crowd.
Yeah.
Essentially.
Brett, what about
the
wife, Noor Salman, who is cooperating with authorities, apparently has shared that he... or has indicated to authorities that he shared plans about to carry out an attack. She accompanied him potentially on multiple scouting trips. This is what's coming out publicly, but she never alerted authorities. And I noticed that Fox is reporting that she's likely to be arrested herself.
She is likely to be charged. And she apparently went on these scouting trips, not only to the Pulse nightclub, but also to Disney. And she knew essentially of these plans and tried to talk him out of it, according to her. But the fact that she knew, that is a chargeable offense. And I think that you're going to see that move forward.
Oh,
there's also a little strange development about how they met and got married, where she's from, you know, and a trip to Saudi Arabia. I mean, there's a lot we don't know about this couple, much like we didn't know about the San Bernardino couple at the beginning.
Let me ask you, too. The president went to the microphone earlier today, seemingly defending his record against Donald Trump's accusations that the president has been soft on terror, or what he told your morning show yesterday, which is, you know, either he doesn't know what he's doing or he knows too well what he's doing. Either way, it's bad, leaving the implication that that the president somehow has influence either through his inaction or action on this. And so the president wanted to go out and also defend himself by not using the term radical Islamic terror. What do you make of all of that?
Well, I mean, the president was pretty a matter of fact when he was listing what's happening against ISIS. And it was kind of a regular kind of speech. He was listing what's happening, stepped up attacks, and it was kind of matter of fact in his delivery. And then he got to the part where he was defending not using the term radical Islamic terrorism or radical terrorists, Islamic terrorists, and he was passionate. He was pretty energized about that defense, specifically going after Donald Trump. And I think you're going to see this pushback. It's interesting that it comes as Hillary Clinton said, I don't have a problem using radical Islamic terrorism. And it seemed like President Obama was saying, hey, Hillary, you know, don't fall for it. And he was defending, saying, nobody on my staff has ever said, boss, if you use this word, we're going to turn this thing around. And, you know, he was pretty passionate about his defense of not using it.
So passionate. You saw him talk about policy and then make the shift. And as soon as he made the shift, he got so passionate about speaking about it. And you wonder, why do you think that Hillary would have pivoted on it? Why did Hillary Clinton decide that she'd be okay with this when it seems to have been the stance of the Democratic Party where that's not how we're going to handle this?
Well, because she's out of a primary. You know, she no longer has to face Bernie Sanders, who would have hit her from the left on this issue. Mm-hmm. And in an effort to go after independents who say, you know, let's identify the enemy, she doesn't see any fallout for using that term, but prefers to make sure that everybody knows that you're not, you know, initiating a war against Islam. And I think that is clear. Trump put out an email response today saying the president claims to know our enemy, and yet he continues to prioritize our enemy over our allies and, for that matter, the American people. When I'm president, it will be America first.
That does not sound like his words, but that's okay.
You can always tell.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't end with, okay.
Did somebody write that?
Okay. Sad. Sad exclamation point.
Sad. Sad. Very sad.
Oh, gosh.
I just don't know.
He has his own rhetoric, doesn't he?
Yeah. I just don't know where, I get what they're doing. I mean, listen, there are adults in the room. I know we got to go here, but it is interesting to watch the battle from afar. And, you know, and you're very adept at being able to sniff this stuff out because of the many, many, many years you've been in Washington, D.C. and covered these guys and gotten to know the people behind the scenes as well, that when you get when you have statements coming out, you can tell where Trump is involved in it, where Trump is not involved in it. And then within 24 hours, you see a fight break out internally in the campaign, and then him go, no, we're going to do it this way.
Yeah, let Trump be Trump. I think that battle is really what we're going to see throughout here as you get ready for the convention and how that's all going to happen, how it's orchestrated. Is a bit of a civil war inside the Trump campaign.
Yeah, because
about the off-the-cuff Trump and then the teleprompter Trump and which one is the real Trump.
Well, we know the teleprompter Trump is not the real Trump, but did you see that Trump at the convention wants to change the lineup and take a lot of the politicians out and put entertainers and athletes in?
Oh, yeah. It might be Survivor Cleveland before we finish. And we could have a vice presidential pick with like a torch, you know, a bunch of guys up on the stage,
right,
and they extinguish all the torches.
Right.
There's one left.
Right. And Ivanka makes the decision who it's actually going to be, and that George guy. No, I'm sorry. I think you should fire them.
Mark Burnett is producing.
Oh, gosh.
So look out.
As long as Tom Brady shows up. That'll be
there
fun.
You go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. All right. Thank you very much.
See you guys.
Brett Baer. Thanks.
See you,
Brett. Talk to you. Brett Baer, Fox News Channel. See you tonight, 5 o'clock. Although we say DVR it.
We DVR it because you're going to be listening here. But we didn't mention yet, happy 70th birthday to Donald Trump. It's his birthday today, Ro.
Yeah, the big 7-0. If
you want to do something special
I'd like
him,
to. Yeah, you know what?
Send him a card.
I'll send him a card.
An e-card.
Mm-hmm. Violetta, did you plan anything?
Oh, right. Social director, Violetta.
Yeah, he's actually going to be a little Bucharest tonight.
Oh, my gosh. I'd love to see that.
Barack Owen and Donald.
Come here. Give me a big kiss. Come on. Oh,
will
man.
He be asking for green cards?
Mm-hmm. Right. Would he do the ethnic dancing part? I don't know.
No, I don't think so.
Although
I think his wife's from that part of the country, so he might be very...
in tune with the crowd.
Might feel right at home.
Right. Boom, 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 boom.
Boom, boom, boom.
Boom, boom, boom.
He is familiar with that, we think.
Yes.
He's at least trying to prove that to us.
Bronco, you have papers.